Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. A Bat Jack and Levy Gardner production. With his fist curled to his mouth, a man with light brown hair and a moustache is sitting in a car looking thoughtful. He looks at his watch, then casually puts on a pair of sunglasses and some gloves, glancing in the rearview mirror as he does so. He picks up a slim black leather case and takes a handgun out of it, then puts in a clip and checks it's loaded and ready. He puts the car into gear and drives off through some deserted loading docks beneath the grey half-light of dawn. John Wayne. The car drives along an expressway towards the towering buildings of a city. McHugh. Co-starring Eddie Albert. The driver sits expressionless as he cruises along an empty road. Diana Muldaur, Colleen Dewhurst, Clue Gulager. Now within the city, he turns right into a street, drives halfway up it, and does a U-turn. He comes back again to park at the opposite side of the road. A policeman walks across the road and steps up onto a pavement into shadow to check on a door. He walks along and checks another. He then notices the parked car and goes over to inspect it. The driver leans over and shoots him. The policeman falls backwards to the ground and the man casually drives off. David Huddleston, Jim Watkins and Al Lettieri as Santiago. The killer disappears down the road, brake lights flaring occasionally, then pulls up in a car park and gets out. Another car comes into view and parks next to his. A policeman gets out, and the man jumps up and shoots him in the back. The killer then walks quickly but calmly back to his own car and drives off. Featuring Julie Adams, Roger E. Moseley, William Bryant, and Joe Tornatore. The streets are still deserted as the car pulls into a used car lot and parks amongst them. The driver can't see anything and tucks the keys behind the sun visor. He picks up the black case, puts the gun in it, then reaches through the window to open the door from the outside, his gloves still on. After doing that, he takes the gloves off, puts them in the case as well, then pushes the door open and gets out, careful not to touch anything with his bare hands. He strolls across the car lot and sets off down the street, carrying the case. Although still gloomy, the sky above is now white with the pale light of early morning. walks along the pavement of a wide main road. He steps into the shaded doorway of a building while a police car speeds past, followed by an ambulance. He watches them for a moment, then turns and goes through the door behind him into an empty cafe. He walks through it, looking into the kitchen as he passes. He heads towards the back and goes down a corridor into a washroom. Once inside, he puts the case down on the sink and takes his sunglasses off before studying his reflection in the mirror. He puts them in his pocket and washes his hands, then dries them on a paper towel nearby. When he opens his jacket to hitch up his trousers, he reveals a police gun and badge. He picks up his case and goes back out into the cafe, choosing to sit at a stool at the end of a counter. A man in the kitchen sees him.
Oh, hi, Sarge.
Al.
What are you doing up at this hour?
Night shift.
Want the usual?
Just some milk.
How's McHugh? Haven't seen him lately.
Lon and his boat. He's living on it.
How's the gut?
Not bad.
Good. I got something cooking out back. You need anything, give a holler.
Right.
The Sarge sits looking out of the window, playing with some coins in his hands. He drops one when he sees a black car drive past and turn down the side of the cafe. He drains his milk, leaves the money on the counter, and heads outside with his case. The black car's parked further along the street, and the Sarge walks up to it, drops the case in through the window, and then walks away. The driver picks up a shotgun off the seat, takes aim, and shoots the Sarge in the back. A poster of the Sarge and a similar aged man, titled Police Officers Cited for Valor. In the cabin of a boat, a hand reaches up and picks up the telephone.
Hello. Oh, nuts.
A heavy-set, middle-aged man with blonde hair appears from below, looking like he's just woken up. He grabs a length of cable and the phone, takes it outside the boat, and plugs it into a socket on a telegraph pole, then picks up the receiver again.
Yeah?
Lon J.C., did you hear?
What?
I'm sorry, Lon. Stan went down this morning.
How bad?
Shotgun in the back. He's in Harborview. They're working on him now.
We'll get Doc Marar over there.
He's here. Lois would like to see you.
How's she doing?
Gutsy. Holding up.
Well, don't leave her alone. Get a policewoman with her. Now, what happened?
Don't know. No witnesses. Coffee shop guy heard the blast but didn't see a thing.
Well, pull a package on Manny Santiago. I want an intelligence update on him, and I want to see Stan's log.
Lon, two other officers got taken off, too. 9mm. Beat man named Hyatt and Wally Johnson. You know, he works the night watching property.
Yeah.
Customer thinks it's militants.
See ya.
A man, seen in the reflection of a driver's side window, is breaking into the car using a screwdriver and a piece of wire. Lon's walking up the jetty when he sees the thief opening the car door.
Hold it!
The thief runs, and Lon goes after him, but he's too slow and soon gives up. While Lon's catching his breath, A man walks onto the jetty behind him and raises a gun. Lon moves just in time. The bullets hit a row of dustbins and the gunman runs off down the jetty. Lon gets to his feet and takes careful aim. He hits him and the gunman falls to the ground and rolls to a stop. Lon goes back down the steps and walks along the jetty towards him. A police car pulls up as a civilian runs to the top of the steps to see what's going on.
Fine, I just stay back.
Don't worry.
The policeman runs down onto the jetty as Lon's inspecting the dead would-be assassin, looking at the wound on his back, then rolling him over so that he's lying face up with his arms spread out.
You know him, Lieutenant?
Paddy Samuels. I know him. He's a hit man. He was waiting for me.
Pete, call a medical examiner!
I'd better have that for the inquest, Lieutenant.
Lon gives him his gun, then heads back along the jetty.
Hey, mister. That was a hell of a shot. Oh, I called the cops for you.
Yeah, thanks. Saw it happen?
I saw you shoot him.
Before that?
I saw him blasting away at you.
Good. Now, I want you to repeat what you saw. Just exactly the way it happened.
Hey, look, I don't want to get involved.
You already are. I have a tape recorder here.
Are you a cop?
Yeah. Tell him what happened. Officer witnesses.
Well, hell, I was just on my way to work.
Name and address first.
My name's James Carter, and I live at 11...
Lon gets another gun from the boot of his car.
When I saw this guy trying to break into this car, this young kid, and then this guy came out and chased him away, and this other guy started shooting at him, see? And then the first guy blasted him. You know, it was a hell of a shot.
Lon pulls up outside the hospital's emergency department. He gets out and walks towards the entrance. Inside, he goes onto a small ward where Lois, a doctor, and two nurses are standing around Sergeant Stan Boyle's bed.
Lon.
Stan's tough, Lois. Don't forget it.
They watch while the doctor examines him.
How bad?
Critical.
Lon walks Lois out of the room with his arm around her, and they go to a canteen.
He liked to work, Lon. Thought being a cop was the greatest.
Well, he's still a cop, and he's still going to be one.
Sure. I'm not surprised he was shot. I've been expecting it. All wives expect it these days, don't you know that? Some crazy getting it off, a radical doing his number.
We don't have to talk about it now.
You've got some questions, though, haven't you?
No.
Another time.
It's all right. At least work never stops, does it? I'm sorry, Lon. What do you want to know?
I know he was taking you to a show last night. How did he end up alone?
He got a call.
From whom?
I don't know. But it was important. I could see his face. I could feel the tightening in his stomach. You know how he was.
Did you hear what was said?
Just pieces. Well, I have a feeling it had something to do with the drive on against the dealers. Just a feeling, that's all. The department dries up the city, someone tries to dry up Stan.
Any names mentioned? Manny Santiago's, for instance.
I would have remembered that for sure.
Well, Lois, I hate to, but I'm just gonna have to go. Can I call somebody, a friend?
Lon, don't baby me. I'm tough to remember.
We'll all be back out on that boat again soon. You'll see. I'll be back as soon as I can.
Lois nods sadly as Lon gets up and leaves. The car drives through an underground car park and pulls into a space as two police bikes ride off. The driver, a middle-aged man with white hair, wearing a grey suit, gets out and walks towards some police vans. He stands and watches as policemen unload a large group of unruly people out of the two vans. When they're finished, he heads into the building as another police motorcyclist walks past him.
Morning, Captain.
Morning.
An office.
I'm in the communications center right now. Yeah. Captain Costman just walked in.
Yes, sir.
Chief, the mayor wants to see you.
Tell him I'm on my way.
He's on his way.
All right, Ed. It's your ball game. I want your best people on this, and I want quick action.
Yes, sir.
This gets top priority. If there's anything you need, just ask. I'll talk to you when I get back.
The captain nods and carries on looking through some paperwork. Lon drives up a city street and turns into the same car park. He drives through and parks next to the captain's car, then gets out with his tape recorder and goes to the boot as JC approaches.
How's Stan?
He's hanging in there.
Boy, that's rough. Homicide's looking for you. They want your papers on the Patty Samuels thing. And the captain's looking for you. I think you've got him worried. I put Stan's log on your desk and Santiago stuff. All the same, arrested on a felony, booked on a misdemeanor, or released.
Yeah, he beats them all.
Yeah. I got his fight tickets for Thursday. Don't suppose we'll be needing them now.
My schedule will be busy. See ya.
You know your Green Hornet is an attractive nuisance. Someday somebody's gonna rip it off. Maybe me.
You can have the payments, too.
Lon walks into the police station.
Captain Costerman wants to.
Okay. Oh, Dean. Have one of the girls type that up, will you?
The place is full of civilians.
Morning, Frank. Watching Costerman's show?
Yeah. Sorry about Stan. How's he doing?
He's trying.
Yeah. Well, listen, if there's anything I can do for him, for Lois, you let me know, will you?
Thanks.
Come here.
Hey, McHugh, what is this asinine police crap?
This is illegal arrest, man. This is unconstitutional, and you damn well know it.
Well, this whole damn place is coming down, you know that? You pigs are gonna be out of work, but don't worry about it. We'll put you on welfare. That's all your stinking job is anyway. Come on, pig. Shoot me. Pull your piece and blow me up right here. What's the matter? No guts? Chicken? Huh? Oh!
Lon kicks him hard in the shin.
What happened?
He bumped into a chair.
Chair?
The corridor's empty. Lon goes through a door into a canteen and joins the captain, who's eating at a table.
Good morning.
Oh, almost got you, huh?
Close enough.
Yeah. You know how I feel about this.
I saw the hallways.
Garbage. Garbage. The whole place smells like rotten cheese. We're gonna have to fumigate.
Ed, I think we should be looking for something else.
Well, I'm willing to look at anything. But uniformed officers shot down in the streets. That smells like radicals to me.
How about Patty Samuels unloading on me? That's not radical. Somebody thought Stan had told me
You're
something.
You're still harping on that Santiago thing, huh?
Why not? Ed, I want this case.
No, not this one. I already put Bert on it. Stan and you are too close friends. You know how the department feels about that. Emotional involvement clouds clear judgment.
We both know all you have to do is just say the word.
Well, I'm not saying it. Lon, look, I know you. I'm not gonna stand for you making up your own rules. You're not gonna play that Mickey Peters thing all over again.
Peters was a hood and everybody knew it.
Yeah, and you weren't satisfied with throwing him up on the roof. You had to go up there and throw him back down. 6 months in the hospital, four lawyers screaming about his civil rights.
Well, it kept him off the street, didn't it?
Yeah. And that's why I'm behind the desk, and you're taking orders for me now. Cool it.
Telephone, Captain.
Yes, thank you. Wow.
cool it. Don't go away. I'm not finished yet.
He walks over to the telephone.
Captain Costerman. No. All press inquiries go to Chief Grogan's desk. That goes for lawyers, too.
Lon watches the captain for a moment, then gets up and walks out. The captain sees him and sighs, then picks up the phone again.
Captain Bennerman, Internal Affairs.
Lon drives across a large industrial area with freight containers piled up on one side. He passes a production plant and carries on past stacks of wooden pallets towards some loading cranes in the docks. He parks up but stays in the car, looking around and thinking. Then he notices three men walking across the tarmac wearing hard hats. Lon uses some binoculars to study them more closely as they stop and talk together. Two are dressed smartly in suits and overcoats, the third's in work overalls. The smartly dressed two take off their hats and head inside a building.
Good morning, Mr. Santiago.
The two men walk down a long office corridor, then turn down a shorter one with a door at the end. Santiago, a tall, well-built man with thick black hair, goes in while the other man waits outside.
Bob, thought you'd be in court today.
No, that's tomorrow. I was worried about the detective who was shot last night. I'm afraid there may be repercussions.
Why should that be? I did not shoot him. I was on an overnight plane from Mexico City.
I know that man well. But it's my responsibility to caution you about the possibility of harassment.
Good morning, Mr. Sam.
Morning. Harassment. Such a nice lawyer's word. Thank you, Bob. You're very conscientious. How is he?
Critical.
Shame.
Outside, Lon's still sitting in his car drinking coffee from the lid of a flask. The large warehouse has Santiago International Forwarding written across the top of it, and he watches as Santiago emerges with two other men. The two men stop at a car, while Santiago walks onto another. Lon picks up a camera and uses a strong zoom lens to take pictures of him, leaning down to the driver's window and talking earnestly to a dark-haired man in a suit. Santiago then goes back to the first car, and all three men get in and drive away. The car pulls into a city street, and the three of them get out. Santiago, his bodyguard, and Bob, the lawyer. They go into a busy bar and walk through to the back, although Bob stops to watch the television behind the bar. Lon walks in and stands near the door, watching Bob.
Boyle's assailant remains at large. Police investigation continues.
Bob walks away to join the others, and Lon takes his place at the bar. He watches him go to a restaurant at the back and talk to Santiago.
What was just on the news?
Sorry, I wasn't paying any attention. The detective shot this morning. He died.
Lon's eyes widen momentarily, but he watches closely as Bob finishes talking to Santiago, who smiles and gets up to go to the toilet while Bob sits down.
Two climbers from Washington State.
Lon walks purposely through the bar, then between the tables of the restaurant, kicking a chair out of his way. He goes into the toilets where Santiago's on the telephone and locks the door behind them.
One less less detective to worry about.
Yeah, one less detective to worry about. I got a message from Patty Samuels. He's sorry he blew it on McHugh, but he rang it up with Boyle. Send that widow a Japanese tea set. Who? I'll show you.
Who? Patty Samuels made a deathbed statement. You put up 10 grand to go bang on Boyle and me.
You're insane!
Yeah. What's the matter? No confession? Even under duress?
Santiago's men see someone trying to get into the toilet, and both of them get up to investigate. Long comes out just as they reach it.
He's taking a shower.
Damn, the phones haven't stopped ringing. Upstairs, city council, the man has clout. What'd you expect? His lawyer was gonna let it die?
I never touched him. Sure, we talked. But he slipped on the wet floor and fell.
He says otherwise. So do his men.
They're his men.
The captain gives Lon a disapproving look. Then they go into a room where three men are waiting, including the chief.
You're off the investigation, Lieutenant. Pending review.
What's all this? Everybody knows that Santiago's the biggest dealer in the city, in spite of his cover. Intelligence knows it, and so do the feds. His age comes in from Canada by mule.
Just file your report, Lieutenant. The commission will be pleased to consider whatever you have to say. A date will be set for the review board, and you will be notified.
That's it. Until further notice, you're on a desk.
I tried to warn you.
Lon throws his gun on the table, and Frank leans forward.
No, wait. Wait a minute, Lon. Don't do that.
Too much politics.
Come on, don't do that. Oh, wait, think about it. You put in too many years here, Lon. You got a good record, a damn good record of arrests and convictions.
Frank, let him go. He was never part of the team anyway. Yeah, run it smooth. Don't do anything. Don't rock the boat.
You mean to infer that our...
I can infer anything I want now, Chief. I'm a civilian again.
He walks out into the corridor where JC's waiting.
What happened?
Run this through the lab for me, will you? See if you can get me a make.
He hands him the film.
Lon?
I'll call you.
Lon's on his boat. He comes up from below with a gun in his hand, checks it's loaded, then puts it in his holster. He's putting his jacket on when he sees Lois walking slowly along the jetty towards him.
Lois?
I hope you don't mind my coming down. I just couldn't sit home.
Glad you did. Welcome aboard.
Oh, my high-heeled shoes.
Oh, you can't hurt these decks. You all right?
Yeah. No. Let me fake it. Thanks for holding my hand at the funeral. Big turnout, wasn't it?
Stan had a lot of friends. That kind of a fella.
The city went all out. 50 motorcycles. All that media coverage. God, why does anybody want to be a cop?
How about a drink?
Yeah.
She follows him into the cabin.
I'm glad now we never had any kids. Maybe it would have been better having someone. Who knows? It's all right. Alcohol purified. How do you stand it, this living in solitary?
Oh, you get used to it. Water or soda?
Doesn't matter. You should get yourself a woman. She'd at least straighten up for you.
Not enough for him anymore. Women's lib, you know.
Lois sees a photo of a teenage girl.
Growing up, isn't she? You still do your Sundays?
Wouldn't miss them for anything.
Why should you? Got something good, keep it. I saw your ex in the papers. He and Foster at some lawyer's meeting. He sure got up there all of a sudden.
I'm glad for her. Well, Lois, what are your plans?
I don't know. I'm all mixed up. Lon, can I be your sister?
Sure. I'd like that. All I had were three brothers. We were always banging knuckles.
Then let's do something crazy, brother. Let's get in your car and go someplace. Canada. Let's get lost for about 10 years. Yes. 10 years is just about right. It's all right, isn't it?
Get it out.
Creeps have made all the gains. Cops get to listen to lots of organ music. Go get yourself a good job.
Yeah.
Lon walks along a curving corridor lined with doors and goes into room 318, a private investigation agency.
Pinky?
Huh?
I parked in your spot.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Car's in the shop anyway.
You bills, huh?
Sorry about Boyle.
Yeah.
Want a beer?
No, thanks. Pinky, I want to come in with you.
Lon, there's hardly enough for me. There's some bad checks, door shaking. Even divorce has gone sour. Disillusion is putting us out of business.
No salary. I need to cover your license, Pinky.
Looking for a base?
That's right. Bring my own client.
Who?
Me.
I get it. Stan is killing. Do it yourself, dumb showing, huh? Why quit? Why don't you just take a leave?
Freer this way.
There's a lot of badasses on the street carrying your bruises. They'd love to catch you without the protection of the departmental umbrella.
Well, it's part of the bundle, Pinky. How about it?
Well, if that's what you want, we'll get you registered. See, it will cost them and get hot.
Lon's having his fingerprints taken while Pinky reads through a form.
Okay, sign right there, will you, Lon?
Lon takes the form to a counter and is about to sign it when the captain walks in. The captain looks at the form, then at Pinky, who's smiling smugly at him, and walks off. JC's got Lon's photo of Santiago talking to the man in the car.
His name's Freddy LaSalle. He's a contract man from St. Louis.
How'd he get by the airport watch?
Who knows, drove him.
Any surveillance on him?
Would be if we could find him.
Well, how about intelligence? Why is he here?
Nothing.
Well, I'm located now. Pinky's. You got his number?
I can get it.
I'm depending on you to keep me up on things.
Well, I do what I can, Lon, but my neck only goes out so far.
It's the only way to go. Rosie, it's me. Did you get any more?
None of your snitches will help you now. They know you can't deal anymore.
Hell, I can't.
Lon drives up a long, curving driveway surrounded by grass and trees. He passes a number of parked vehicles and stops next to a pathway. A valet makes his way over.
Don't park it, I'm not staying.
Yes, sir.
He walks up the path, glancing behind him at the other cars, and makes his way around the back of a large house to the garden beyond, where a lavish party is taking place. Lon stands by some shrubbery, watching the spectacle, then looks up at the house A slim, attractive woman in a flowing pink dress sees him and makes her way over.
Come on. This is a surprise.
Yeah, a nice party.
Oh, we're trying to raise some money for a foster parent program. It's awful about Stan. I tried to reach Lois. I keep trying. I heard you resigned.
That's right.
I'm glad. I'm sorry, too. But it didn't happen a long time ago.
Is Ginger around back from school?
Oh, she should be here any minute.
Elaine, I need $5,000.
I hope it's for a woman. Someone patient, brave, and caring. Who doesn't break out in rashes being left alone at night. I'll have to ask Walter.
Hello, Lon.
Walter?
You're looking fit.
You do.
How about Elaine? Looks marvelous, doesn't she?
Always did.
Walter, Lon wants $5,000.
A loan. I have $6,000 or $7,000 coming from my pension, but I won't get it for 3 months, and I need the money right now.
All right.
I've drawn up this paper. The fund will pay you directly.
That's not necessary, Lon. Just pay me back when you can.
I'd rather do it this way.
Walter reads it.
All right. I'll get a check.
He goes back into the house. A young blonde girl gets out of a minibus.
Hi. Daddy! Hi! Oh.
Hello, Ginger.
Oh. Hi, Mom.
Hi, sweetheart.
Wow, look at this. 99 out of 100. I'm a genius.
Yeah, I got a couple of tickets to the Sunday basketball game. How about it?
Gee, Dad. Jane invited me to her house at the marina. It's her birthday, and she's having a boy-girl party. My first one.
Well, then you'll have to go to Janie's. Maybe next week.
If there's not another party, I'm getting very popular. I think it's my charm.
Walter comes back.
I called the bank and told them you'd be down to cash it. There'll be no difficulty.
Well, thanks, Walter. I'll see you.
Walter, Elaine, and Ginger stand together as they watch him head back to his car. Footage of a basketball game. A wing player throws the ball to a teammate who scores. Outside the arena, a snazzily dressed man has two ladies on his arm.
Hey, what's the score? Oh, man, the Lakers are doing it to him righteously. Hey, there's my man over there. I'm gonna transact some business. Why don't you ladies run and get something to eat? Get Daddy something too here. And you be real sweet to yourself. What you got for me, my man? Hey, that's all right. Wall's playing, huh? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna run about three on this one and two here and run
watch
at five.
It.
He turns around and sees Lon walking towards him.
Hey, baby, give me the hot dogs. Stay right here. Daddy's got some more business to take care of.
Hello, Rosie.
Hey, man, I don't have to talk to you like you're not the heat anymore. You know what I mean? Like you're useless.
Hold it, Rosie.
Hey, what you gonna do, go Fist City on me? I can dig that. You know, a week in the hospital, rest and relaxation. You know what I mean?
There's five bills in this newspaper.
I don't even sneeze for less than 10.
All right, let's turn to the second section. Five more. If it's beautiful.
Rosie looks round and moves closer to Lon.
Santiago's got company from out of state.
Freddie LaSalle? That's worth zip. Enjoy the game.
There's more. More hardware. Cat by the name of German Carl from Denver.
Two hit men.
Three. A loose something or other from Miami.
Santiago's collecting a murder squad.
Something else.
What?
You know, you'd be surprised how the cost of living has gone up in the black community.
It stops right here.
A heist team.
A heist team, Rosie. You're shining me on.
No, no, man. This is a straight skinny, and it must be something special.
Drugs?
You know Santiago. I don't know what's his bag.
Did Stan find something out?
Hey, man, he's got his own connections. You ask Stan. Oh, wow, I'm missing all the action, babe.
Rosie, if this is a shine, I'm coming back and iron your face.
Personally, I think it's worth more.
I'll get you some blue chip stamps.
Nighttime, and a man's walking down a street. When someone grabs him, he quickly puts something in his mouth.
Cocaine, Sal?
Let's have them, Sal.
The balloons.
Spit them out.
Spit them out.
Hey, what the hell is this? You ain't even a cop anymore.
Go see some basketball.
Basketball?
A woman gets out of a taxi and goes towards her house. She opens the door and sees Lon sitting inside in the dark, waiting for her.
Jeez, you got a nerve taking your way in here.
What is this?
I've got a good mind to call a cop.
He shows her the drugs he got from Sal.
So what?
I thought you might be interested.
Why should I be? I'm no doper. Where'd you get that idea? Look, I'm tired. I've been hustling drinks for 10 hours. My feet hurt, my back hurts, and I need a bath. So go on.
She goes out of the room, but Long gets up and follows her.
Let's cut through it, Myra. You were a good friend of Stan's in the past.
Well, he was a nice guy. He was a gentleman. Gentleman. It was a damn shame. Not that there was ever anything between us. Personal, I mean. We were just good friends.
Sure, I know that. He respected you.
You bet he did.
He brought the balloons and you spoke of things in general.
If I hear anything, it's my civic duty to tell the right person. Geez, who else knows? Why don't you guys print up a program?
Nobody knows, Myra. I was just Stan's very good friend.
Well, I talked only to Stan, not his very good friend. And I'm not talking to you. I don't like you. I never did. You're a bear. I don't like bears. Out.
Okay.
He goes back to the chair and picks up the drugs. Myra watches him anxiously.
Wait. Skag or coke? I don't go skag.
I know what you go, Myra.
He unwraps the handkerchief again, and she walks over to him.
Can I see one?
She picks up one of the balloons, and they both sit down.
You have a bill handy?
Lon takes a couple out of his jacket pocket and peels one off.
C note. Class. Roll it for me, will you, like a good fella?
He unfolds a corner of the note, while Myra puts a dab of the coke on her gums. She then stands up and goes over to a lamp, switching it off.
Do you mind? Hurts my eyes. You see, the lounge is dark all of the time, so my pupils get dilated. Dilated pupils is a natural condition with me. That's why some people think I'm a coker.
Myra, did Stan have some information? Is that why he was killed?
Why don't you take off your coat?
Aren't you hot? Oh, personally, I think it's hot.
Know anything about a drug heist?
Think I'm fat?
No, I think you look real nice.
Yeah. Aw, oh, I'm fat. Baby fat. It needs lifting. Oh, even that won't help. What I need is a complete overhaul.
Myra, I'm asking you something.
Sure, honey. I'll tell you. Be glad to. In the morning.
He looks at her in surprise.
You said I looked real nice. You said it.
Myra, in your job, you must meet a lot of younger men around.
Oh, sure. Phone rings day and night, don't you know? But I'm ignoring it. I'm picking you, honey.
Lon nods knowingly. Myra wakes up in bed and rolls over to find there's nobody beside her.
How about some coffee?
Hi. Hey, I'll pick some bacon and eggs, okay? You cool it, huh?
Oh, thanks, Myra, but I got a big day.
Oh, sure, I'm busy myself.
Myra?
She takes his hand and looks up at him.
I don't know what Stan knew. I didn't tell him. I didn't know myself until yesterday. Some hard rocks from out of town.
What's the setup?
Drug heist, like you thought. They're going for the biggest stash in the city.
Where?
You're the detective. Detect.
Give me some help.
Look where the men in blue hang out.
I can't believe it.
So go find out. Only thing is, you better hurry.
Lon's walking through the car park at the police station and passes a van with State Bureau of Narcotics written on it. Then he heads inside. He goes up to a hatch in the wall and looks through it to where four men are standing round a trolley next to a shelf. One of them has a clipboard.
2549, cocaine.
Check.
2268, heroin.
Check.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Lon. What brings you around?
I was just picking some stuff up out of my locker. How's it going?
Oh, not bad. Wife's having a little problem, though. You know women.
Yeah.
She's going to the hospital tomorrow.
It's too bad.
Well, that concludes it. Sign here,
please. Okay. Lon watches as the men wheel the trolley of confiscated drugs in his direction and come out of a doorway next to him. Then head out towards the car park with it. Steve's watching them as well.
Would you believe you're looking at over $2 million?
I sure would.
Where are they burning it this time, Sarge?
Beats me, it's state secret.
See ya.
He walks off along the corridor. In the car park, the men load the drugs into the back of the narcotics van in two cardboard boxes. Lon's sitting in his car outside, and when the van comes out, he follows it. He gets his gun out of its holster and puts it on the seat beside him. The van heads along the road with Lon close behind it. When it gets to a junction at the end, it turns left onto a reasonably quiet street, but Lon has to push out in front of an oncoming vehicle to keep up with it. They go up a steep hill, then down a tree-lined suburban street. The van brakes sharply and stops as a car pulls out in front of it, and Lon grabs his gun.
Sergeant,
Sorry.
The driver of the car reverses back. Lon relaxes, and they go on their way again. The van turns onto a winding, rising road, with Lon close behind. Then, into the entranceway of a large hospital. It stops near the trade entrance, while Lon carries on into the main car park. He gets out and watches the van reverse. Two men get out and open the back doors. Then one of them unloads the boxes containing large brown envelopes of the cocaine, while the other one goes inside. A third man gets out of the back of the van, and they put the boxes on a trolley and wheel them indoors. Lon shuts his car door and heads into the building through a different entrance, passing two men in white medical uniforms on the way. Inside, he goes through some automatic doors and walks along a short, bare corridor. The three men wheel the trolley towards him down an adjoining corridor, which has thick pipes running along its ceiling. Lon watches nonchalantly as they pass, then go through a doorway a little further down. He tries to follow them, but a security guard sees him.
Hey, what are you doing down there?
I'm looking for a restroom.
Well, it's not down here. It's upstairs and to the left.
Thanks.
Howdy, Sarge.
The boxes are taken to a furnace, but a man with a gun steps out.
Drop the boxes! Drop them!
They do as they're told, when two other men run up and club them on the back of the head, knocking them all out. The men, dressed in matching white uniforms with writing on the backs of their shirts, pick up the boxes and run up some steps to where three carts of laundry are waiting. They half-empty the carts, put all the envelopes into them, then cover them up with laundry again, before wheeling them out. They emerge into a hospital corridor and calmly wheel them off, just as Lon appears out of an adjacent door. He sees them and looks away, then notices that the boiler room door's open. He turns and watches the three men for a moment, then starts to follow them. The last man looks back suspiciously at Lon, then the one at the front does as well. They make a few turns, then go through a set of double doors where the front man stops, but ushers the other two on in front of him. He grabs a shotgun from the last cart and waits for Lon, who spots him just in time.
Take off!
They load the carts into a laundry van and drive off. The van accelerates out of the hospital grounds and narrowly avoids crashing into an oncoming car as it speeds off down the road. Lon runs back to his car and gets in. He heads out of the car park but is blocked by someone coming in. Speeds off in a different direction, tearing between two startled members of staff, then out of the exit to give chase. He stops on the brow of a hill to study the network of roads below him and sees the laundry van heading onto a freeway and sets off after it. He comes flying round a bend. Then he's on a main road at the bottom of the hill, which he tries to turn off, but traffic blocks him. He quickly reverses. And gets back on the carriageway. The van drives along a flyover while Lon skids round a corner onto a main street. He goes down a narrow alleyway and straight across the next road without even slowing down. Careering along another alleyway, he streaks across a level crossing, causing the motorcyclist to skid and tumble from his bike. Lon then goes cross-country, driving under the flyover along a dusty track which quickly coats his car. He's parallel with the van, which he can now see on a different flyover, and so turns off and gets onto a proper road instead. He cuts up a car, gets onto a slip road, and joins the carriageway just behind the laundry van. Lon sits behind a cement truck with the van just in front of it. But then he looks in his rearview mirror and sees another identical laundry van behind him. It catches up and overtakes him, then sits between him and the cement truck. Lon moves around over the road as he tries to keep an eye on both of them. They go through a tunnel, and Lon loses sight of the van at the front, but it's still there when they come out the other side. They come to a junction and are slowing down when the van between Lon and the cement truck suddenly veers off. So Lon follows it. They speed along the street, the laundry van trying to get away, until Lon manages to get in front of it and force it to a stop. He gets out and quickly raises his gun.
Get out of that truck!
The driver, not one from the hospital, does as he's told, looking worried.
Open those rear doors.
He opens them, but the van's empty. Lon looks at him in dismay.
Who are you working for?
I work for the laundry company.
Well, why'd you blast through those stop signs?
The way you was chasing me, I thought you was some sort of nut.
Well, maybe I am. Take off.
The driver gets back in his van, and as Lon looks up, he sees the other van on the flyover. He takes a resigned breath and then turns away. At the station, where Lon's sitting at a desk when the captain comes over to another detective.
Professional Holloway, we found the linen truck. Switch had already been made.
How much do they get?
The property's toting it up now. Mega bucks. Must be $2 million wholesale anyway.
I'm robbing the police. Man, it's beautiful.
Chief wants to see you at 5:30. Captain Wyandotte's on his way over.
I'll bet he is.
Sergeant Kennedy? Yeah, let me have it.
The captain goes and sits down opposite Lon.
Now, what the hell was that? Just what the hell was that? You hot-dogging it around like that?
I wasn't sure of my information, but the time
I didn't have to be sure. Your responsibility is to let us know.
My responsibility is to my client. Nothing in the law says I have to tell you anything.
Oh?
Okay. Then you better tell your client to find himself a new private. Pending a look into that shootout, there'll be a little delay in approval of Pinky's request to take you on.
We're all set, Captain. I'll search Santiago's place.
I'll cover his house, but even if he's got it, he's not going to have a stash there.
Ed, you got to help me with something here. Let's just say for a minute that McHugh is right and that Santiago needed the dope to supply his people, so he brought in this robbery team, right? Now, you tell me, how did he know when State was going to move it? Or how did he know where it was going to be burned? Now, I understand that's private information, eh?
That's right. Yeah. State sets the time and the place.
So somebody leaked it, right?
Yes, somebody.
Yeah. Well, and you, Ed, what about a connection between the robbery and the murders of Boyle and the officer?
There's a connection, all right. One of the officers shot was in property. Wally Johnson.
Frank, if there's a tie-in, we'll find it. You're forgetting something. You're out.
And I want to tell you something. I'm glad.
Just a minute. You still carrying?
Lon takes out his gun.
Better leave it. For the time being, your permit's revoked. And if you give me any more of your crap, you're gonna find that employment of any kind is just a little out of your reach. Now, if you want me to hit you harder, I can do that too.
Sir, it's Captain Wyndott's here.
Oh, hi, Phil. Get out.
Ed, don't you think that McHugh here...
Frank!
Phil, how are you?
Fine.
Looks like we've got a problem.
You know, Franklin Tom is a field deputy, city council, Captain Wyndott.
Frank,
State how are you, Captain?
Good to see you.
Let's go on inside, yeah?
Let me know how the sweep comes off. I'll be going by Lawrence's house tonight.
Okay.
Lon leaves JC and hands his gun to an officer on the way out. Then he's in a shop buying another one. As he signs the form, a man comes out of the storeroom and sees him.
Hey, Lon.
Jack.
What are you doing?
Buying a gun. This one.
Got a minute? I got something I want to show you in back.
He goes behind the counter and follows Jack into a back room.
Lon, I have a little equalizer here. We're going to try to sell it to the department. The Ingram.
Ingram, huh?
9mm.
6-7 pounds?
6.25. Silencer makes a nice handle.
Lon, this can here is filled with water. Go on, squeeze off a burst.
Why not?
He puts the magazine into the machine gun and takes aim. The lid flies off the dustbin and water bursts out of the many bullet holes in it.
How about that? Those 32 slugs came out in a second and a half.
Lon goes back and puts the gun into a bag.
You ever see anything like it? Hey, you're not going to take it, are you?
Just say it's a loan.
Lon? It's not licensed.
Jack, neither am I.
At Lois's house.
I am going down to see my folks. Why don't we get into that Green Hornet of yours and go down together?
I'd like to, but...
I see. Lon, why don't you catch on? Police work can't be done these days. Crime isn't just organized, it's institutionalized. And you're blowing it, you know.
What?
Your allotment, brother. You're off the force, you won't get licensed. You know, kid, and you're empty. Why don't you do something filling?
I want to know who did it and why.
You think I would too, wouldn't you? Hello? Yes, he's still here.
Hello?
Lon, JC. The search is over.
What happened?
What we figured. Zip.
Okay, JC. Thanks. Go on home. Nothing.
Santiago doesn't have it.
He has it, all right. He's probably driving it around town. That's the standard procedure. Now, what do you think would be a safe place to stash it?
Where the police have already been.
I think you're right.
Did you have to leave?
No big hurry.
Refill?
Why not?
Lon, can I tell you something? Stan and I were having trouble for a long time. We were in the same bed, but it was for sleeping. Did he say anything? Did he tell you I was leaving him?
No.
I thought you two knew everything about each other.
Everything and nothing.
I really don't want you as a brother. I guess I never did. That's the danger of the buddy system. Maybe the manual needs rewriting.
Maybe it does.
Why not?
Lon stands up and goes to her.
Couple of empties. Like in the songs. Let's help each other through the night.
They both look round, surprised, and Lois goes to answer the door.
Frank, come in.
Frank?
Hey, Lon, I didn't know you were here. I'm glad you are. I need to talk with you. I need to talk with both of you, as a matter of fact.
Sit down. Would you like a drink?
No. Well, yeah, I will, Lois. Give me a scotch of water, if you don't mind, please. The commission asked me to stop by, Lois, to see if you needed anything, if you wanted anything.
I'm fine, thanks, Frank.
Okay, and about that job, I think I can, well, I know I can get you some clerical work and accounting, but if you can hold on just a little bit longer, I heard a better job was going to open in public affairs.
Sounds good to me.
Good. I'm sorry, really sorry about the hassle they've been giving you downtown, Lon. And I agree with you. Ed's on the wrong track. I mean, he's got this bug about the militant angle, see? And there's got to be more to it than that. So I'm going to talk with him. I'm going to change his mind.
That'd be a start.
But if I were you, I'd cool it. For a little while anyway, because it just seems to me you're damned exposed.
Yeah.
You eating? Have you? Let's all have dinner someplace.
I'd like that. But I guess it'll have to wait till another time. Good night, Lois. See you tomorrow.
Lon's walking through the dockyards late at night. A large boat's moored up by the quay with a huge orange loading crane next to it. Lon walks past it, sticking to the shadows and carrying a small bag in his hand. He sees something and stops, then glances quickly behind him before walking on between two rows of stacked metal canisters. He ducks down as two police officers walk past. Once they're gone, he carries on his way, keeping to the shadowy walls of some large warehouses. He gets to a blue building and stops at the door, looking around again before running his hand over the glass pane in it and sizing up the handle. Lon puts his bag down, opens it up, and takes out a thick silver tube and some bits of wire. He fits one end of the tube around the door handle and twists it so that something pushes into the lock, enabling him to remove it altogether. He puts that back into the bag and picks up the wire, straightening it out and putting one end into his mouth. He takes a metal tool and slides it down the gap between the door and the frame until he feels the alarm unit. He then carefully opens the door, keeping the tool on it, and attaches one end of the wire to the alarm. Once he's attached the other end to make a loop and close the circuit, he goes inside. He edges across a reception area and peers down an empty corridor. Before silently heading along it in the opposite direction. He passes a desk with a typewriter on it and places his bag down next to it. He puts his torch down on top of the bag before continuing along another corridor. Passing through a doorway into another room, Lon enters Bob the lawyer's office. Spread out on the desk are dozens of small plastic bags filled with white powder. He picks up one of them. He opens a coffee pot and finds it still steaming.
Just ease the gun out.
Santiago and his men are standing in the doorway. The office curtains are closed electronically.
Make yourself comfortable.
I guess I was expected.
Breaking and entering. Very serious.
Robbery and possession of narcotics. You're in more trouble than I.
We shall see. Look. I don't like what you did to me. I suppose I can understand it. The rage of a man who's lost a good friend. But I don't like what you did to me.
I kind of enjoyed it myself.
You interrupted my coffee. Have some.
No, thanks.
Come on now, relax. One spoonful or two? Two. It has been my observation that policemen like their coffee sweet. Sugar. All of it. Sugar! We've stolen sugar! Do you understand what's happened? A switch has taken place. And where? Where else but the police department itself? Actually, I find it quite charming. I arrange a robbery. A very difficult robbery. Stealing from the police itself. But before I can steal from them, they steal from me.
My heart bleeds for you.
If you're bleeding, it's for yourself. Your people are the violators. Proof again of how unfair things are. The advantage always lies with the people on the inside.
Who?
You ask me? How do I know? I'm on the outside. But big people, it would seem. A big operation. Who else but big people?
How about Stan Boyle? Did you blast him?
I had no reason. Possibly he discovered what was taking place. Perhaps it's been going on for a long time. Maybe everything that was ever burned was sugar. I find that concept fascinating. Certain officials are my competitors. See what the world has become?
Well, I can't help you.
Then go.
I've nothing to fear from you. All this will be destroyed. And no one will know of my embarrassment except those very clever officials. Of course. Well, one more thing.
Santiago hits Lon in the face and torso. Later, at Pinky's office.
I don't see anything. What did he hit you with?
Powdered sugar. The hell with that, Pinky. Let's get on with it.
Well, let's see what we can put together. Now, there are two separate frolics here.
That's right.
Santiago arranged the heist, and he came up a loser. Insiders pulled this job. Wally Johnson stood the morning watch alone. It would have been easy for him to slip out the dope and slip in the sugar. His murder, Hyatt's, and Stan's all connect.
And no militants mixed up in it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that makes you wonder, doesn't it, why Costerman was so eager to stick them.
Yeah, doesn't it? And that's why I need you. So you check IRS, his bank accounts, any girlfriend he might have on the side. You know the routine.
Costerman, that's heavy. What are you gonna do?
I've got my own angle. Probably collected and stashed that dope by now.
It's not on the street already.
J.C. answers the phone.
Sergeant Davis.
J.C.? This is Lon.
Can you talk?
Go.
Has a new supply of junk hit the streets?
Not a thing, Lon.
Well, let me know if it does.
Sure. What is it? What are you into?
Don't ask, just answer. Best that way.
JC's with the captain.
McHugh.
Later, Lon's in a dance club. He goes and sits next to Rosie, who's chatting up a woman.
Bobby. Go outside and bring the car around front, baby. We're not gonna be here much longer. The air ain't got foul. Just go get the car, baby, and be cool. What the hell's wrong with you, McHugh, coming here?
Don't get excited, Rosie. I hear you're holding out on me.
What are you trying to do, man? Run me out of business?
Your stuff's coming down from headquarters, some top brass.
What the hell are you talking about, McHugh? I get from Santiago, you know that. I don't know anything about any cops either.
I think you do, and I want to hear it.
Okay, we're not here.
Here. No.
You know what will happen to me if I'm seen with you on my tail? Man, I'll be out of business in a week. Look, McHugh, all the force are off. You are bad news. And if anybody was dirty, you ought to know who.
What do you mean by that?
Boy, your buddy, that's who. Now, there's a cat that smells bad all the way.
Back that up, Rosie. Give me something solid to support it.
Street talk. Same way I get everything else for you. Street talk.
You ever bad talk boil again? I'll kill you.
Lon heads off. Lon's parked up in his car when a cab pulls up behind him. Myra steps out of the cab and goes over to Lon's car.
Myra?
Hi. Well, I don't know if it's healthy being seen with you. I hear you're making a lot of people mad.
Uh-huh. Sit down a minute. You heard about the drug heist, the hit on the state narco officers.
Yes, it's been all over the TV.
And there's a rumor that somebody down at headquarters isn't clean.
I don't know anything about that.
You wouldn't be holding out on me, Myra. I'm a tired man.
No, I'm not dealing, Lon. But, when you are arrested...
You know something? You are attractive.
Oh, sure. That's all that a girl like me needs, is a liar like you. You sure you won't come in?
Thanks.
Well, if you should change your mind, you know where I'll be. No, that's all right. Thank you.
She waves from her door and he drives off. She steps into her dimly lit house and closes the door behind her. She lingers by the door for a moment before crossing the living room and going into the kitchen. She takes a look in the fridge. Hearing the buzzer, she closes the fridge and goes back to the front door.
Just a minute, Lon, honey, I'm coming.
She opens the door to see a man wearing a stocking over his head.
Oh, no.
He shoots her. Pinky's in bed when he answers the phone.
Hello. Lon, where the hell have you been? I've been trying to reach you. What did Myra tell you?
Nothing. Didn't know a thing.
Well, somebody thought she did. She's been killed.
Damn.
Lon slams the door in frustration. He then storms across the room and goes out. He hurries outside and gets into his car. Closing the door firmly behind him, his black muscle car then growls into the night. Up ahead, a truck pulls into the alley, blocking his way. He reverses back up the alley, only to find another truck blocking him in the other direction. He drives forward again as both trucks close in on him. The lorry sandwiched the car, crunching into the front and back. Lon's knocked unconscious. The truck at the back reverses down the alley, and the other pushes past Lon's car and drives away. A police car speeds round the corner just after the trucks have disappeared.
Holy gee, look at that.
Get some foam on this thing.
Where are you?
In the back.
How bad are you hurt?
How the hell do I know? Get some foam on this thing. I'm up to my butt in gas.
At the hospital, a doctor goes to see Lon, who's with JC.
Well, there's no fracture. I don't see any other apparent injuries.
Well, it may not be apparent, but you ought to feel it from my side.
Well, you've been banged up pretty good. Watch this hammer. Keep your head still. Well, I think we'll keep it here overnight for observation. Nurse, where is that head injury?
Well, as they say, you're a lucky man.
What's with the car?
Total. You're gonna need new wheels, that's for sure.
Well, it's time I got rid of it. If it isn't being wrecked, it's being stolen.
What is it?
Nothing.
Stay right here, Lieutenant. I'll be with you in a minute.
Thank you, nurse.
What do you think, Lon? San Diego?
No. He could have taken me any time he wanted.
The whole thing's weird. Why press you and I?
It's not so weird if they wanted to separate me from that car. Where is it?
Impound on Olive.
Why?
Just a thought.
Okay. I'll split. If you need anything, I'll be at home.
Say hello to Alan.
Right.
What's this for?
You.
No way.
Damn it, Lieutenant, we're busy around here. I say you get in this chair. Hospital regulations.
And I say it's damn ridiculous.
All right, Lieutenant. But we're taking it up with us anyway.
He follows the nurse out.
I don't make the regulations, you know. Why, you could be very seriously injured and not even know it.
Maybe you're right, nurse.
I've had other cases like you, though. Just last week, I had three. Two of them were okay, but one of them was...
Sometime later, Lon's leaving the hospital. A taxi's waiting for him.
Olivan 23rd.
JC's watching from his car.
Car 10 to radio. Notify Captain Costerman the subject just left the hospital.
At the car pound, Lon goes over to his wrecked vehicle. He studies the heap of twisted metal and broken glass. He makes his way to the back of the car and finds the boot is open. He rummages through its contents. He pulls out his small bag and an ammunition clip. He slips the clip into his pocket and places the bag down on the rear windscreen of the car. Having opened one of the rear doors, he notices a bag of white powder amongst broken glass on the back seat. He pushes the back seat away and finds a small amount of white powder on the carpet. He dabs it with his finger and tastes it. Three police cars pull up at the entrance of the car pound. The officers climb out of their cars, along with the captain and JC, who are in an unmarked vehicle. Lon scuttles away and hides in the shadows.
We know you're in there.
Another car pulls up and Pinky climbs out.
Farrell! Come over here. What's going on?
What are you doing here?
I came to meet a friend. What is going on?
Captain got an anonymous tip. Lon's had the stolen dope in his car. He's in there after it now.
Lon?
Why not? Anyone can go bad. Goodbye, Pinky. You're in the way. Take him over there till I can get to him.
Come on, Lon. We know you're armed. Come on with your hands empty.
Lon climbs into one of the other cars.
Lon, we got a lot of firepower out here. Don't make me use any heat.
He fumbles with some wires under the dashboard.
All right, Lon, you're coming up.
The captain gives a nod.
Let's have the dog.
A police dog is led out of one of the squad cars. The dog's released and runs into the car pound. The large Alsatian prowls the rows of impounded vehicles. Lon's desperately trying to hotwire the car as the dog closes in. Spotting Lon, the dog races over, but he shuts the door just in time.
All right, bring him out.
The gates are open, but Lon comes speeding out in the stolen squad car. The other cars give chase. Dawn breaks and the chase continues on a main road alongside the dockyard. Lon speeds onto a flyover and then down an alley. Pulling onto a sloped road, he stops the car and climbs out. As his pursuers approach, Lon releases the handbrake and lets the car roll down the hill. The runaway vehicle careers down the hill and crashes into another parked car, exploding into flame. Lon hides in the shadows as the police cars emerge from the alley and speed down the hill. As they're busy investigating the crash, Lon slopes away. Daytime. Lois answers a knock at her back door.
Lon, what happened? The police were here looking for you 10 minutes ago.
Where are you going?
Down to see my folks.
All right, get the car out.
Lon, what happened?
Come on, Lois.
In her car.
All right, Lon, what happened? Lon, for God's sake.
Stan was dirty.
I don't believe it.
I didn't want to either. He was in a frolic, all right. Steal dope from the property section, sell it off. The dope had been switched for sugar long before the heist. Stashed in my car. I was hauling it around.
What did Stan have to do with that?
Everything. I loaned him my car. He said his was in the shop. That's the way they got the dope in there.
You really mean it, don't you?
All the way. I feel kind of silly, acting like an avenging angel all that time.
I guess he thought a big crop would bring me back to him. I'm glad he's dead. But I'll tell you this, I'm on his side. Why not? It's the new national sport called grabbing. Everybody does it. The senator sells privilege, the judge takes bribes. This time it just happened to be Stan.
And some others.
Who?
Somebody tall, somebody in. Somebody who killed Wally Johnson and Stan so they could have more for themselves.
Costerman?
I'll find out.
How?
Through you. Feel kind of silly about that, too.
Lon, you're crazy.
That'd be nice. I'd like it better that way. No, it started playing back to me, Lois, when you kept saying, let's get in your green Hornet and go someplace. My car. Not only once. At least twice. You were in it together, but Stan got double dealt. You not only took him off your belly, you took him out of this world, you and your new partner.
You are crazy.
We'll see, Lois. I'm gonna stick with you until we find out who comes for this junk. That's right. Your friend took it out of my car, gave it to you to move it out of the city. Well, let's see. Is it in here?
He pushes a suitcase out of the window.
Well, maybe it's in this one.
And a bag.
Well, then it has to be in this one.
Lon, for God's sake, there are $2 million there. Lon, you like me. I like you. I can go any place. We can go together.
There's a car following them. Lon glances back, then looks in the rearview mirror.
That turnoff up there. Take it.
She turns off down a dirt road and under a low wooden bridge. They pull up at the bottom of a hill on a beach. The other car pulls up behind them, a little way up the track.
McHugh, he's behind the car!
Lon draws his weapon and shoots out the tires. The driver climbs out and takes cover behind his car. They exchange fire, and Lon shatters the windscreen with a volley of bullets. Takes aim again, and this time hits the man, knocking him over. Lois gets out of the car and runs towards the other vehicle. Having run up the hill to the shot-out car, she stares down at the dead body on the ground. Lon joins her and rolls the body over with his foot so it's face up.
Franklin Thomas, servant of the people.
As Lois and Lon head back to the car, two more vehicles speed round the corner. Santiago and his lawyer are in one, and his goons are in the other.
Santiago.
Lois and Lon speed up along the beach while Santiago and his men give chase. The cars speed across the wet sand, throwing up spray from their tires. Lon glances out the rear windscreen at his two pursuers. Up ahead, a flock of gulls fly out of the way just in time. He picks up speed and keeps glancing round agitatedly. He drives through some shallow water, covering the cars behind him. The windscreen wipers of Lon's car sweep furiously, clearing the seawater from the glass. Lon's car then jumps over a dried-up tree trunk that's lying across the beach, but his pursuers manage to avoid it. He jumps through a gap in a row of groins across the sand. One of the other cars splinters a post but keeps going. He picks up spray in the path of his pursuers again, dousing them with water. Santiago's men draw their weapons, and Lon pulls Lois's head down as they open fire. Bullets fly through the windows and windscreen. Whilst trying to keep his eyes on the beach up ahead, Lon fumbles in his bag. alongside the others. He cocks the weapon and rests it on his arm, aiming it at his pursuers. Bullets tear through the car and send it flipping over. It barrel rolls across the wet sand. Lon and Santiago perform sharp U-turns and pull their cars up a short distance from each other in the shallow waters. Smoke pours from Lon's car as he and Lois take cover behind it.
McHugh! Can you hear me? I want that junk! McHugh, are you listening? I said I want that junk! What's your answer?
Lon fires a volley of bullets into the car.
McHugh, I've purchased it from you. 25 cents on the dollar. 50 cents. Now that's fair.
One of Santiago's goons comes too in the wreckage behind Lon.
Come now. Let's stop the nonsense. Shake hands on an agreement.
If you want it so damn bad, come and get the stuff.
He throws the case towards them. It bobs about in the shallows. Santiago's lawyer steps out from behind the car and fetches it. He spreads his arms to show he's not carrying a weapon.
Go on!
He slowly wades forward as Santiago pulls a shotgun out of the car. Suddenly, Lon fires a volley of bullets into the case. The injured goon picks up a shotgun and gets out of the wrecked car, but Lon shoots him before he can even take aim. In the distraction, the lawyer opens fire, but Lon takes him out and then guns down Santiago as he breaks cover to shoot. Lon then steps out from behind the car and wades over to the suitcase. He kicks it open, and the bags are carried off by the water. Sometime later, a crowd of onlookers and police have gathered near the beach. Lois and Lon watch as a coroner's van pulls up near a policeman who's keeping the public back.
Lois.
Lois gets into the back of a waiting police car. She's driven away by two uniformed officers. The captain and JC come over to Lon.
The van. Okay, Lon, I had it wrong. But I didn't turn in your badge.
I can tell you what you can do with it. You.
Lon, it was my job. I was transferred to internal security. I've been on you all the way.
Yeah, it's your job. Lousy damn junk.
All right, Lon. How about it?
It's a bar over there. Let's get a drink.
The three men cross the street towards the bar.